Hey guys, and welcome back to the Way UK podcast. My name is Jesse, and I'm joined on the wonderful couch by the wonderful
Xenia
and the other wonderful
Mateus.
We need some better vocab,
and you're
guys,
not on our
I'll
couch.
Be honest. I'm not on your couch. We say wonderful all the time. I just feel like, what's some other words? We've tried it before.
We've got a Bible on the table. Maybe we should have a thesaurus instead.
Ooh.
That's all. Are you saying that I'm...
You've got limited vocabulary.
Yeah. That's really rude, man.
Elephant in the room.
It's caught on camera.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, Mateus's nice words, today we're talking about the wonderful theme of kindness.
Wonderful.
We actually decided to throw this for you, Mateus, because we feel like
this is an intervention.
This could be helpful for you to learn.
Probably.
Sorry, so savage. But yeah, no, today we're continuing on with our generosity series, and today we're talking about the theme of kindness. So to start up the little convo, just curious, have you guys ever experienced kindness before? I hope
you're
so.
Gonna say,
I hope so.
Now, let's ask, have you guys ever been kind? That's where it was going.
Mateus, have you ever been kind before?
Oh my gosh.
Don't know, man.
Lost for words.
Yeah.
But have you ever experienced any kindness? I hope so. I've experienced kindness.
I experienced kindness today.
Oh, what was your kindness today?
You made me a matcha.
I did. How was the matcha I made you? Was it okay?
It was actually good.
I
and you were
the
like,
syrup.
You were like, I've never made it before.
No,
and
I never made it. I tried my best.
Gifted.
And I had to Google how to do it, how much matcha to do.
But, it's all right.
But I did it.
Yeah, you made it. It was great. I actually thought of this randomly today. One of my friends from church gave me the gold strap for my watch.
Oh.
Yeah, she gifted that to me. I can't remember what it was. I think it was last year. I was holding out on buying it for my birthday because I was like, oh, I can wait.
Mm.
And then she found out that I wanted one, so she just bought it for me. It was so random, and I was like tearing up and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, I just didn't expect it.
That's really kind.
Yeah, that was very kind.
That's lovely. Matty, have you been...
I have, in the past, been the recipient of kindness, and it's manifested itself in different ways. Like, sometimes it's generosity, as you've said, but sometimes it's, like, just someone's time or someone's kind words as well. I feel like I receive kind words a lot. People are very kind with their words.
Mm.
Some people more than others.
Oh.
Jesse.
Yeah. Oh,
no, I'm joking.
Oh.
Okay. Well, the perfect place to talk about these kind of things is on camera. What have I said to upset you?
No fighting. No, actually, fight. No, I'm joking.
No, bam, actually, it is all love. It is all love. Jesse actually is very
Do you know, I think you'd absolutely take me in a fight. I'll be honest.
That's not very kind. Yeah.
No, no, as in you'd win.
No, as in, but I don't think fighting is kind.
Oh.
Turn
Guys, I'm glad, I'm glad we're talking about these things.
Yeah, man.
Should we talk about the Bible at all, or should we just continue throwing out scenarios?
Nah, we can go into the Bible. There's there's a verse in James 2.
Oh,
that's great!
Wow, you literally went straight there.
I went straight there.
Yeah,
You're
really great at doing that.
Thank you, man.
So I'm just practicing kindness.
That's good. No, it's good. It's James 2:26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." I'm reading from the NIV, by the way. So I think this, I'm bringing us to this place first.
Yeah, it's good.
You said the Bible, because we need to ask, actually, where does our kindness come from?
Mm.
What is it a result of?
Mm.
And I love this verse because it just sets a foundation for what kindness is.
Mm.
Kindness can be a little bit like a thrown away word or thrown everywhere. Like, this is kind, that's kind.
Mm.
But actually understanding that it's a part of our life. It's part of our faith journey. And actually, it's a sign of faith in us.
Mm.
Because faith without deeds is dead. And so if we are not kind, then do we really have faith? But we can be sure that if we have faith, it will manifest itself through kindness.
Yeah. Look, should we just talk? I love this. That's brilliant.
That's a great point.
I'm just beginning to hear it and I'm getting lots of thoughts. But one thought I'd love like a bit of clarity on is like, what do you guys see kindness as yourself? Like, it's great to pick up the James scripture because it's like, oh, without deeds, it's dead. Like, therefore, oh yeah, okay, so I should practice this thing of kindness. What do you guys see kindness as? Like, Zen, what do you see kindness as?
I think kindness is more than just being nice. I feel like in our world, like, so if someone does something kind, we assume or we put the phrase nice with it as well. I feel like nice can be a bit more on the surface, whereas I think kindness has a lot more deeper roots. I think there's something selfless about being kind. You know, like when I think of God, I think God is like the ultimate model of what it is to be kind. Like he gave himself for us, and he actually gave himself to people that will also reject him as well, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy. So I feel like there's an element of kindness that's like you give it away without expecting to get anything back. Mm. And that can be an act that, well, most of the time that's in action, right? It's in the words that you say or the things that you can do for people, and that's all action based. So yeah, I think it's about being selfless.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What do you, Matt, any?
I mean, well, I'm just firstly brought to the Bible verse. I forget in what, which of Paul's letters it talks about this, but when Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Fruit.
And so again, like it is a thrown around word. It can lose a little bit of its meaning because it's like it's used so much, it's so saturated. But there is a spiritual aspect also, like a spiritual significance to kind acts.
Yeah.
So I, at least for me, that brings a little bit of weight on this topic.
Yeah.
Like it brings, it's
great.
Yeah.
No, it's great. That's the scripture that was coming to mind as well. Because with a lot of these themes that we're kind of unpacking with the generosity series, you know, we're going into serving, we're going into hospitality, we're going into giving, like we're going into things that are all doing, all actions. And I think it's really important because the way in which we show and practice things is by doing, right? And that's why we're picking up on this verse in James, which is like, faith without deeds is dead.
Mm.
But I kind of love how this is named in the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's like, it's named within characteristics, not just actions.
Yeah.
Generosity, like in terms of hospitality, it's a choice to host people. And that's like, cool. That's like an action that we're called to do. Serving, it's an action that we're called to do. But kindness is a characteristic. It's named in the middle of like love, in joy, in peace, in patience. Then it's kindness, in gentleness, in self-control, in faithfulness. Like all these characteristics which are more than just a doing thing, but it's like an embodiment of a feature, a characteristic, something that we live and we live in rather than just do.
Yeah.
With ourselves, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I love about the fruit of the Spirit as well is these are fruit of the Spirit being God, right? The Holy Spirit, one of the members of the Trinity. The fruit of spending time with the Holy Spirit, spending time with God, is you begin to act like God and you begin to show these characteristics. You begin to become kind because you spend time with God.
Mm.
And the reason for that is because these characteristics that we read about in this scripture about the fruits, it's because that's who God is.
Mm.
He is love. He is peace. He is joy. He is patience. He is kindness. He is these things. And so for me, I love the fact that it all comes from God. It's not about like just something we can cultivate. It's like, no, this is who God is. And we get to learn to partner with God in that. And we get to learn off him. And become more like him, and that involves being more kind.
This reminds me of a couple months back. If you guys are keeping up with some of our posts on Instagram, Izzy did there was a great post where Izzy was talking about how we are only able to love because God has loved us.
So yeah.
we are only able to love insofar as we understand God's love for us. And there's a similar sentiment in here as well, as you were saying, Jesse.
Mm.
We are able to be kind insofar as we understand the kindness of God over our lives as well. Because the more that we spend time with him, the more that we understand his kindness. The more that we understand his kindness, the more that we reflect his kindness. Mm. We are able to love because he first loved us. We are able to embody kindness as a fruit of the Spirit because he has first shown kindness to us.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think that's super practical though. Like sometimes we can think, oh, how can I be more loving or how can I be more kind? Spend more time with God and he'll do all the work. Like I was thinking as you were talking, like when we contemplate, when we think about God, the more we behold him, we become more like him. So actually it's not out of my own effort that I have to make myself more kind, but it's the Holy Spirit that does that work in me and the Holy Spirit transforms me. And then because of that transformation, that spirit, that fruit just grows in me, which takes the pressure off because it's like, you don't have to work for it.
Yeah.
It's like, you just spend more time with God and he'll do the rest.
So Matthias, you should spend some more time with
God. Yeah. I am always trying to spend more time with the Lord. And we can always, I mean, it was a bit tongue in cheek, but it's true. Like if I want to be kinder, when we will get into the practicals, but a great practical way is just spend time with God and invite the Holy Spirit into it.
It's
one thing I pray all the time is, God, would you soften my heart, and would you show more of your heart to me so that I'm able to show more of your heart to others, you know?
Wow. That's awesome.
Mateus is so wholesome, man. I like slam him and he just brings it back to holiness. No, it's great. It's because you're a kind man. Well, random question. What do you think is the opposite of kindness? What do you think it lives to not live in that? Is it because I don't think it's like grumbling, because that's like thankfulness is grumbling. But maybe the opposite of it's like slander, being mean to people.
What, bitterness?
Bitterness, maybe.
I once heard that the opposite of love is indifference. That's the opposite of love.
Not hate,
not necessarily, but it's indifference.
What does that mean?
Indifference is a lack of botheredness. You're not bothered about something else. And I think an unkind nature can manifest itself in that as well, in that indifference. I'm just not bothered in the way that my words are going to make you feel. Therefore, I'm going to say it anyway.
Wow.
Or I'm not bothered in what my actions are going to result in. So I'm going to do it anyway. And I wonder whether we as Christians, we're not actually called to not be bothered about our neighbor, but we're actually like, be conscious of our neighbor.
Yeah.
Because God was bothered about us. I don't know. That's my first thought. I don't know if that's very fleshed out, but.
No, it's great. I think it's easy to be like, yeah, I'm a kind person. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't for me. But I know for me that one of my areas in which I can definitely improve on and get better at is probably like how I speak to people and my words.
Mm.
When I say mean things, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's fine. They know my heart. Like I'm a kind person. I'm not bad. But actually sometimes I begin to like reflect on it a bit and I'm like, oh no, actually I didn't spend much time with God. And I'm beginning to like be a little meaner in the way I speak, in my actions. And so my point of trying to find the opposite of kindness is almost as like some easy indicators that maybe this is something we need to pay attention to.
Mm. And I wonder whether there's even encouragement. I know not all our viewers are from the UK, but in the UK, at least for those who don't know, there is a big culture like this dry humor and lots of sarcasm and almost like this self-deprecating humor also, but it kind of goes on to others. I say this to us, but I'm mostly saying it to myself, being like, actually, in some of the ways that we talk to each other in our culture, is there a calling higher? Can we just excuse it as just culture? It's like, oh, it's fine. We're just Brits. This is what we do. Or is there an invitation to actually like, are we going to call each other to a higher place? I don't know.
That's pretty messy.
Yeah, but I feel like kindness makes you stand out.
Mm.
It's like if you're the only person in your friendship group that wants to step out of this way and maybe not speak in that way or maybe not gossip and actually be more encouraging, that can make you stand out because then now you're going against the grain of what everyone else is doing. So kindness can in a way put a target on you to be like, hey, look, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. So I don't really want to act the way that everyone else is acting. Mm-hmm. I actually want to be more loving. I actually want to be more kind. I actually want to not pick on the kid that everyone else is picking on, but actually want to sit with them. Like kindness can make you stand out in a culture where everyone else isn't doing that. And it's tough. I've definitely been in those situations. I remember when I was in school, one of my friends was being bullied. And it was hard because I'd just been bullied the year before by a similar group of people. And I had to make a choice in that moment. Like, do I sway with the crowds and do what everyone else is doing and pick on this friend? Or do I stand by her when nobody else was? And I chose to stand by her. And that caused me to like lose out on having friends in those moments. But to me, like, it was worth it. You know, I could see somebody else happy that could have been crying, but was actually happy because I chose to stick with her. And that just made it all the more worth it.
So you're the savior.
I'm not Jesus, though. The way I said that so quick.
I'm glad we talked about sarcasm then.
And then went right back into it. Yeah.
Sorry. I think that's such a good way of thinking about it.
Mm.
Thinking back a little bit to our own scenarios and our own school journeys. Because it's so practical. You learn so much about yourself in school and who you are and how you try to fit in and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the word kindness, it's kind of vague, to be honest. Like, it's why we're kind of talking a little bit about different ways in which we can understand what it means to embody this word of kindness, right? Like we're like, oh, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. But I think what you just described then, like about like this, someone on the outside, someone who isn't finding it easy to fit in, someone who's being picked on.
Yeah.
Like choosing to be kind is just simply choosing not to be mean and choosing to be friends. Because I think that's the thing, mean feels like the opposite of kindness, right?
Mm.
And when you think of kindness as a characteristic of God, you're like, oh yeah, God's not mean. He's not meanie. Did you ever be called that about your siblings? Meanie.
Such a meanie.
Such a meanie. But like, God's not mean. And like, the opposite of mean is kind. Mm. And I think of times when I failed at that, when I saw kids who were my age, who was just sat all alone and who were picked on, who were laughed at. And I just like, your heart breaks for them and you see it and you're aware that it's happening. And yet you don't choose to step out and be kind. You just choose to like conform into the crowd.
Mm.
You just choose not to listen. It's really obvious in school. And I know I failed at that point. Like there were people that I watched get pick on and chose not to do anything. That was in itself mean. But I'm curious, what do you think this could be in church? Because yeah, there's cliques at points. Like there's people who are in and out at points in church. Like we've talked about that before. That can be dangerous and that can be bad. But what other areas do you think people in church lack kindness for the Christian?
Not me going on a rant here, but I think when I started serving in church as a young adults leader and like creating Bible studies for like people that were my age, the thing that I was the most passionate about was not seeing people on the fringes. I can't sit down and see someone sitting by themselves. And I think that's because of my own personal experience of being bullied in school. Like I can't bear to watch somebody feel like they don't fit in or feel like, oh, nobody likes me because no one's speaking to me, knowing that I've gone through something similar and I sit by and I do nothing. Like my heart can't do it. So I will always be the person when we open up our space and new young adults come in, you'd always catch me sitting by that one person that came by themselves or that one person that's just like on their phone because they need to find something to do. I'm like, hey man, like, how you doing? Like your first time, da, da, da. And I'm always like trying to connect this one with that one, or I hear, oh, you're interested in that, or let me show you my. But that's just, I think, just how I'm wired, because I think the church should be a place where we can come together and find community. I think if we love Jesus and if Jesus is here, it should be easy to find community. So why is it not? And sometimes we get in the way of what God is trying to do. So that's one thing that I think is the, like, seeing somebody that's by themselves and not thinking your first response is, oh, let me go and sit with that person, but we just kind of leave them to figure it out. Wow. I feel like we could get better at doing that, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I love that, Zen. And I think also it's probably important to acknowledge, though, that kindness won't always be easy, especially in social settings. Social settings are really, really daunting. And I know for me, when I was growing up, I was quite insecure. Like, not insecure, but definitely shy and had less to say. And I know that it would have been very difficult for me actually to see someone I don't know and don't have a relationship with and go in and chat with them. But I say this not because it's like, oh, it's fine for you to do it, but then I don't have to do it. But actually that, okay, if I acknowledge that it's less natural for me to go out of my way and chat to someone I don't know in a social setting, if I know that feels unnatural, if I know that feels uncomfortable, maybe there's something that I need to address like inwardly. I don't know, there might be a personal insecurity that I haven't dealt with. It might have been actually that instead of your experience with bullying resulting in you wanting to chat with people, maybe you would have come out of that and actually thought, I don't want to chat to anybody.
Yeah.
And so there is acknowledgement. Actually, it's kindness won't always be easy or won't always feel natural or the obvious thing to do. But there is a calling that we have as Christians to reflect this characteristic of God. And we can invite God into it. If we know like, God, this is actually really difficult for me, actually really uncomfortable for me. Would you show kindness on me and would you help me through this? Would you guide me through it?
It's great. And I think I love this. This is so good. Some of this reasoning why we won't be kind is actually kind of fair and subtle. Oh, Lord, I've had a really long day. You know that I've had a long day. You love me. I'm a son. I'm not going to go an extra mile and chat to someone new. To an extent, sometimes that's all right, because sometimes you're just actually really tired. But sometimes those barriers can become habits and habitual barriers. And then suddenly you're stuck in the cycle and you'll never break out of that unless you invite God into it. And then you'll never be kind. And so there are some reasons, excuses that are fair, but maybe it's a little self question, like, oh, maybe what are some areas that I'm not just like having a fair excuse. I'm actually just putting something off. I'm putting off the opportunity to grow and be kind. Not that, I know we've already talked about it, like the fruit of the Spirit, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of spending time with God. It's not the fruit of learning new habits.
Oh.
It's not the fruit of self-help.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the fruit of waking up at 5 a.m. and choosing to buy someone a matcha every morning. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's choosing to press into God and trusting that that will slowly shape the way that you do that and the way that you live and the way that you act and the way that you view people. I think one of the biggest things, this is what comes to my mind when I think about just everyday life and church, and like exclusivity is a massive one. But another one is, I think kindness is beyond just words, but it's actually how you view people.
Yeah.
You can view people kindly or you can view people not. And before you act kindly, you want to be viewing someone kindly. When Jesus came and he started preaching all these messages, he was like, it's not just if you do something bad, it's about what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your mind. And ultimately, you can act like the kindest person in the world. You can act and do everything correctly. But if you don't actually carry love, if you don't actually view someone with kindness, then I think it's in vain. And so one prayer that is coming to my mind is, wow, I want to pray that I view people like God views them. I want to pray that I view people with kindness and compassion. And I think particularly around forgiveness and particularly around failure. I was chatting with a friend last night about how failure is probably at its most like daunting time in the world, because everything gets exposed and people get cancelled and all that kind of thing. Failure feels really scary. And I think that we need to learn how to view with kindness and compassion, which will help us forgive. One of the other scriptures that we talked about was Ephesians 4 verse 32, which is, be kind, so kind, and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. Like, there is something that happens with kindness and compassion and viewing people that way, which actually directly results how you forgive people. And I think the way that you view people with kindness also directly results how you call people higher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that classic scripture, we'll use it all the time in church context. Kindness is the thing that leads people to repentance. Kindness leads people to repentance. It's not this crazy like judgment and a 10-step plan. It's the kindness that brings people higher. And I think that has to start with how you view. It can't just start with buying someone a coffee. Yes, that's great. We're not disregarding that. But if you don't view someone with kindness, you'll never be able to call them higher. Because as soon as they do something wrong, you'll just tear them down and be like, oh, he failed. Well, I can't forgive them. Because kindness and forgiveness, they're linked. I don't know. I'm bringing lots of thoughts. I'm kind of processing it myself. I'm an external processor for anyone who hasn't guessed. off the back of that, does anyone have any?
I'm thinking about like our calling to be evangelistic. That word means like to share our faith, right? And how sharing our faith is an act of kindness, but it isn't always. Sometimes we can share our faith being like, I'm going to win another soul. But actually sometimes that doesn't come from another, like a place of like viewing a person and wanting the best of them because you want to show kindness to them. And maybe you're talking to a friend about God or the Bible, and it might be that it's just not getting into their mind, or they're just not understanding it like you would like them to understand it. And that could lead to a lot of frustration and bitterness towards a person. Or there's a different scenario where you're sharing your faith with a friend and they're not getting it, but because you view them through the lens of kindness, you show also the other fruits of the Spirit: patience, gentleness, and actually you start to actually like walk with them in relationship. And I love that what you're saying, because ultimately kindness isn't about the result of it. Sometimes people will let us down, and if we have the wrong heart motive towards it, we are going to get affected, and actually it's going to cause us to think differently about that person.
Mm.
But actually, if we come from a place of love and we come from a place of kindness, it won't, because kindness isn't about what we get back from it. And Paul says somewhere, he says, it doesn't matter if you do all these great things. If it doesn't come from love, it's like clanging cymbal, right? It's almost like, it's like, doesn't matter. If it doesn't come from a place of love, it does not matter. Even if you're doing all these great things, it's all about love. It's all about the way we see people and the heart behind our actions.
Yeah, but then think about it. The example that you just gave of wanting to share, say you're sharing your faith with a friend, they're not getting it, but instead of being frustrated or expressing yourself in a different way, you see them as God sees them and it changes. Why does that happen? Because when God sees us, he sees us through the lens of grace, which is why when you said that scripture, Jesse, on your kindness leads us to repentance, it's the grace of God that makes us repent. Because God, I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your kindness. I actually deserve way worse. But the fact that you don't see what, you don't judge me by what I deserve. You judge me based on what you've done for me. Wow, God, like I have to repent and I have to say sorry, because wow, you love me so much. And it's the same thing with kindness. Kindness, there's that almost a layer between how you see somebody and how you act. And the bridge between that is grace and it's mercy. You know, you have mercy for that friend that isn't really getting it because you've got grace for them, because you understand like, oh, God loves you. And oh, your faith is hard. Like, it's hard to understand. So I totally get it if you don't get it. And we can work towards that. Like, it's not the end. Or like that one kid that's like by themselves. Oh yeah, I totally get what it's like to be alone. Like, I totally get how hard that is. Of course I'll sit with you. It's that like really seeing the grace and having mercy for people the way that God does. That's the thing. That's that whole kindness leads us to repentance. It's that.
Oh, it's so good. And throughout the Bible, it's littered with examples of kindness.
Yeah.
Littered with examples of people who get this lens. They understand what it is to operate in a place of kindness. Like, imagine, this is just a thought that came to mind. Imagine Jesus was going to the cross, doing this unbelievably kind act in order to save humanity. And he was like, oh, well, I haven't had my dinner yet, so I'm a bit hangry. So I'm not gonna do that for you. Well, like, Jesus was moving somewhere and like the woman touched him to be healed from her internal bleeding. That's a story in the Bible. A woman reaches out, touches his garment, she's healed. And he goes, who touched me? Who touched me? Sees the woman and is like, oh, I could be kind to you and say your faith has made you well. Or, no, I just had a bit of a long day, a bit of a hard day.
Like, can I have that healing back, please?
And can give it back, imagine? Come back another day. It's like,
can I have the receipt for
that?
Do you
know what I mean? It's not the way that Jesus operated. The scripture that just came to mind as he was speaking then was Luke 7, where it says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, don't cry. Other translations say he was moved with compassion. And I think it was when the Lord saw, he looked and he was filled with compassion. He was filled with kindness and his heart was moved. And what did it result in? He then went up, touched the bier that was carrying him on. The bearer stood still and he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to the mother. Being filled with compassion and viewing things with compassion leads to healing, leads to dead things coming to life.
Mm.
You know, sometimes literally, like in this scenario, but maybe you think, like even going back to the excluding conversation.
Right.
So, like, you don't know what people's scenarios are. You don't know how close to the edge of maybe leaving church or moving on or actually what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know how people are feeling. And there are probably some scenarios where people feel like emotionally at the end or like spiritually at the end, like, not to make it deep, but like spiritually dead or something, like this person was dead. And yet when you view with compassion, that can lead to healing.
Wow.
Dead scenarios can come to life.
Mm.
And you just don't know. You just don't know what people are going through. and you don't know what just simply choosing kindness and acting. You know, we talked about James, like good faith comes through deeds as well. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't know what choosing to act in kindness and buy someone a coffee and give them a hug and talk to them and say kind words to them instead of mean words can do. Because ultimately we know that being moved with compassion and kindness can raise dead things to life. And so we need to operate in that more, you know. And there are, as I said, there's examples littered throughout the entire Bible. There's another example in Samuel that I think you brought up for this one. Do you want to tell us about that?
I mean, you brought it up before.
But I also couldn't pronounce his name.
Oh, how do you say his name?
That's an inside reference.
Come on, say it. It's
Mephibosheth.
There you go. Guys,
for context, we were trying to talk about this story a year ago?
About that, yeah.
And the amount of edits that had to be made on this, I'm telling you, I went Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth. Literally about 20 times. But Mephibosheth. But tell us about it, because you brought it up, you pointed it out as a story that relates to kindness.
Okay, guys, help me. Help me if I don't get it all right. Basically, we know about David in the Bible. David, Goliath, you know that guy, becomes king. Great. David had a friend called Jonathan. And his friend Jonathan passed away. And Jonathan had a son called Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was like severely disabled. Like, I think he's something with his legs, I think. Yeah. He was basically seen as an outcast. Like, nobody wanted to be hanging around with him. And David invited him to his house for a meal, which was so countercultural, because why is the king inviting Mephibosheth? Like, Mephibosheth have no family. Mephibosheth is an outcast. Mephibosheth is disabled. Like, why would David want to share a meal? And in sharing this meal, there was like a cultural, symbolism, signifier. Mm-hmm. Didn't know the word there. But it's a cultural symbol of saying, what I have is yours. And David, in that moment, having that meal with Mephibosheth, kind of said, hey, look, my inheritance and all that I have going for me, you have some of that. So you have this meal with me, but also you can share in the freedom that I have. Like, you don't have to sit and live in shame and sit and feel shameful based on like where you are in life currently. No, you can share this moment with me. And that's like a symbol of God, right? Like, God prepares a table for us. And he invites us to walk in his freedom and to not live in our shame.
Can I bring another layer of depth to that story?
Deepen it.
In this passage is in 2 Samuel 9. And in verse 3, it says, the king, so this is David, asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? So David is not only asking for a son of Jonathan, but he's actually looking for someone from the house of Saul, which is technically his enemy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
He's looking to show kindness to the descendants of his enemy. And we even see this in some of the Psalms. It says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, right? So there is like a physical act, which is representation of what's going on in the spiritual. So David both embodies in himself God's kindness, but that comes out in him actually inviting his enemy, or also the son of his best friend, but the line of his enemy to the table and saying, there is room at the table always for you. A great act of kindness.
And David's also known as a man that was after God's own heart, right? That's how we often refer to him. And so God's heart, the heart of God that holds all this kindness, David was constantly running towards that. And so for us, we should also be people like David, like a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart, people that want to be kind, because God's heart is all about kindness.
God doesn't just model like forgiveness as a one action thing, but he models this higher call to forgiveness, which isn't just, you know, one and done, say the words and then you move on. It's like, no, I'm going to say the words and I'm going to choose then to act in kindness. And I'm going to then choose to have you share in what I own. It's not just, okay, yeah, cool, done, we can be colleagues now. It's like, no, join in my inheritance, join in what I own. What's mine is yours. Yeah. That's a huge higher call for us. And it's kind of a bit daunting, but I feel like that's why we've got to remember that this kindness ultimately, just as we said at the beginning, is a gift and a fruit of spending time with Jesus, and something that God actually wants to give to us. It's not something that he makes really tricky for us to find. Yeah, there's tricky moments, but it's actually something that God wants for us. He wants us to be kind people.
Yeah.
He's on our team, although like the call might be feel daunting, he's actually on our side, which is really awesome to remember. I feel like we've talked a lot. Mm-hmm. Is there any final points that you want to bring before?
I just want to read from the Bible quickly.
Come on.
In that same passage, again, 2 Samuel chapter 9, this is in verse 13. It says, he always ate at the king's table. So it's talk about Melchizedek.
That was terrible. I'm sorry.
Mephibosheth. All in a different person. Who's that? His cousin.
Mel Panunu.
Big Mez.
Big Meza.
New characters are not. That's crazy.
Anyways, back to the Bible. What does the Bible says? It says he always ate at the king's table.
Wow.
It's not one, just to emphasize what you said, but just through scripture.
It's great.
He always ate at the king's table. It wasn't a one-time forgiveness. Before it says, don't be afraid. I will show you kindness, David said to him. And then later, he embodied that through his welcomeness. Oh,
so good.
We are invited to the table by the Father, our Father in heaven. Mm. We are invited into his family. We're adopted. He has shown us the ultimate representation of kindness, right? Mm. And so we, here right now, are called to invite others to our table. It might be a physical table, hospitality, inviting them into our home. But it looks different as well. It's a continuous calling, always.
It's great.
That's my last point. Yeah,
it's great.
On the story.
So good. Sen, do you have any final moments?
I just think sometimes we need to get outside of ourselves. Like sometimes we really get in the way of being kind to people and also get in the way of what God is doing. Mm. And actually, like, yes, we can have those moments and feelings of insecurity, but if we see that other person and we see how much they need the kindness of God, that should prompt us to just get outside of the way and just step forward and act, like go towards them, extend a loving welcome, extend a friendly, you know, something. Mm. But let's be people that get out of the way so that others can experience the love of God.
Learn the heart of God by spending time with God so you can be the heart of God. Guys, thanks for watching. guys, this is awesome to throw on this intervention from Mateus. Mateus, do you feel like the end of the podcast, you feel ready to be kind?
I do, man. Look.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the journey with us on the WEK podcast. And we will see you next week for another episode. See you soon.
Bye.